Well, good morning, everyone. Today I'm actually presenting on a rather large study that I conducted with the Virginia Department of Health in conjunction with the New River Health District, which is located in Christiansburg, Virginia. So this is really a small segment of the study, and actually it consisted of qualitative and quantitative data, and I actually presented the qualitative data last year at APHA. Okay. So to give you an overview of my presentation today, I will briefly discuss what comprises MAP, which stands for Mobilizing Action for Planning and Partnerships. And essentially, it's a model for community health needs assessment. Also, I'll review the objective, the primary objective of our study. And also, I'll provide you with a definition of non-traditional care, because that oftentimes can be misconstrued to include other components that I will not be discussing today. So two primary objectives for this presentation. I want to identify specific barriers among low-income community residents in terms of accessing these non-traditional healthcare services, as well as examining their insurance coverage, because that will obviously affect their access to certain care. And also, I will briefly mention and suggest legislative policies to ensure equity across economic and ethnic strata, especially among underserved communities, which is mostly the New River Valley in Virginia. Oops. Okay. All right, so to give you a brief overview of MAP, it's basically a community, and I am not used to speaking with a microphone, so forgive me, I'm really used to pacing the room. It's a community-wide strategy. It's a planning tool for improving public health. Can you all hear me if I talk from over here? Nice, okay. And it's also a method to help prioritize community needs. So rather than just kind of listing various community needs, these are very specific. So we're identifying health issues as well as resources that are already in existence to address these health issues and to take action. So we're looking at strategic thinking. We're thinking long-term specific goals rather than just operational thinking, which is more focused on the short term. We want to address community needs over the long term as well. It's a community-driven process in that it's more than just the local health care department, the local health department in and of itself. It's involved, and I do have a nice graphic to give you an idea of what I mean by this. It also involves community residents, so they take an active role in this community health needs assessment as well. And also, the focus is on the local public health system in terms of what they can provide to the health needs assessment and to address the current health needs that are found within the assessment. Oh, I'm going the wrong way with that. Okay. So what does MAP, the acronym, stand for? First of all, mobilizing. So we're getting the entire community engaged, the local public health system, community agencies that deal with maybe free clinics, for example, also university and other college institutions as well, including, like I mentioned before, community residents are crucial in this process. Action, so we're implementing a public health improvement plan. More than just planning it, let's implement it. That's crucial as well, so taking that action. Planning, built on strategic planning concepts, which I mentioned earlier, strategic planning, and partnerships. And this kind of goes along with the public health department partnering with Virginia Tech, for example, because that was the case with the New River Health District in order to perform this community health needs assessment of the New River Valley, which consists of about six different counties, I should mention as well. So the paradigm shift regarding MAP, like I mentioned, moving from operational planning to strategic planning, focus on the agency. Now we're focusing more on the community and the entire public health system as a whole, rather than just one entity. Needs assessment, now we're looking at assets, so what's already available, as well as the resources that we have in our midst to address these needs, and what other resources are necessary as well. medically oriented model, now we're looking at a broader definition of health. So this can include mental health. This can include spiritual health, more than just physical health, for example. And the agency knows all no longer. Based on MAP, everyone knows something. This includes community residents. I cannot stress the importance of their role in MAP, the MAP assessment process as well. And so this graphic gives you a nice idea of what I mean by the local public health system and who all is involved in this. Like I said, it's more than just the local public health department. It includes community health centers, elected officials, employers, civic groups, faith institutions, labs, city planners, et cetera, et cetera. Mental health is in there as well, so you can kind of get a better idea of what I mean by the local public health system. And so the MAP model in and of itself, there's six different phases of which are listed in the center of the model. So organizing for success, partnership development, you know, for example, the local public health department in New River Valley partnered with a bunch of other organizations, including Virginia Tech. Visioning, so what's the vision? What needs do we want to address? What's the purpose of this needs assessment? So we're delineating the specific vision for the community. What do we want the community to look like 10 years from now? There's four MAP assessments which are listed on the outside in the four arrows, and really those assessments are what drive the MAP process. Also, identifying strategic issues, so what major health issues need to be addressed at this time, formulating goals and strategies, and then finally, the action plan. And that's more cyclical in nature. So we're planning, implementing, evaluating continuously. It does not necessarily stop. Okay, so purpose of MAP provides communities with a framework to collect and analyze health data, as well as identify and prioritize community health issues and findings to develop and implement action plans that address defined specific needs. Okay, so the objective of the study that I'm presenting on, or the portion of the study I should mention, to determine specific barriers among low-income New River Valley residents in terms of accessing non-traditional care, which I will define in a moment, and in terms of their insurance coverage, health insurance. Okay, so non-traditional care. Most of the time, major medical insurance, you know, covers the major catastrophic medical costs, surgeries, lab work, so on and so forth, hospital stays. However, today I want to define non-traditional healthcare as not necessarily covered by major medical insurance policies, at least not traditionally. So for example, dental, vision, and mental health. I'm not necessarily focusing, I should mention, on, say, chiropractic care, for example, chiropractic medicine. That is not involved with today's presentation. So the methods in the sample for this study, we mailed out about 2,500 quantitative surveys to New River Valley residents, and also the study, I should mention, also consisted of that qualitative component as well, but that was done separately. We mailed them randomly based on a consumer database of addresses that we had, and we had about a 28 or so percent return rate. And of course, you can see the number of female respondents, almost 71%, compared to almost 30% male respondents. And in terms of ethnicity, it was majorly skewed here, 92% Caucasian, 8% constituting the other primary ethnic categories, African American, Native American, Asian American, or Latina. And also 55% were low income, 23% of whom lacked health insurance of any kind. So they did not have any health insurance at the time of the study. So results, 28% had not seen an eye doctor in the past 3 years. And 14% of those were unable to afford prescription eyewear. Even if they were to see an eye doctor, they could not afford the eyewear prescribed to them. 21% had not visited a dentist in the past 3 years, and also 17% were unable to obtain mental health services, and I really suspect this number to be higher because I'm assuming many people would not necessarily admit that they would need mental health services or know, because if they've never been evaluated, they would not know. So I'm assuming that that number would be much higher based on our study. 35% reported obtaining most of the care that they needed, give or take. And 20%, they weren't able to pay for the necessary care at any given time. And really, that speaks to their lack of health insurance as well. Okay. So policy recommendations. In terms of service provision regarding the non-traditional care component, I suggest that maybe incorporating, let's say, the non-traditional locations such as churches, local health departments, could perhaps partner with churches or faith-based institutions, pharmacies, free clinics, in order to provide, say, vision exams or dental checkups, that sort of thing, for either a reduced cost or maybe some type of supplemental care. So increased funding in the community, in the state, hopefully to promote that reduced service cost. Also, a greater sensitivity to patient beliefs and preferences, and that really speaks to cultural health beliefs, for example. In terms of the southwestern part of Virginia, many folks are from the lower income, very rural areas, and they have certain cultural health beliefs. For example, they don't believe in accessing, some of them, don't believe in accessing mental health services. And so if they're not evaluated, but yet they do need those services, it's important for healthcare providers to be sensitive to those cultural health beliefs. Effective patient-provider communication, that speaks to very clear health communication. So maybe not taking for granted that the patient is already aware of the services that are already provided in the community, really speaking clearly to the patient based on their cultural health beliefs, based on their background, their ethnicity, so on and so forth. Also, promoting a better understanding of the organizational culture of our healthcare system. So, looking at those collective values, those assumptions, underlying assumptions, expectations, certain definitions in terms of the healthcare system. So, kind of promoting that better understanding among patients as well, especially underrepresented populations and lower income communities. So another policy recommendation, expanding coverage to include that basic dental, vision, mental health care without increased premiums or high co-pays, for example, or high deductibles. So perhaps promoting the idea of that supplemental or reduced cost coverage to cover those services for lower income individuals. And also minimizing other barriers. So depending on where the facility is located, you know, most of us have an awareness that if it's located in a more rural area, obviously we'll have transportation issues for many folks. So maybe providing some type of bus service or taxi service or whatever's available in order to allow these lower income individuals living in rural areas to access those necessary healthcare services. Overcoming language barriers. Not everyone fits in this nice cookie cutter image, even in the rural Southwest Virginia. And so it's important, if there's major language barriers, to address those and to prevent those from serving as a barrier to access for the healthcare, necessary healthcare. Also, cultural competence. So, and that really speaks to the cultural competence of the service provider. So if the patient population they're dealing with is of a certain ethnic identity, again, kind of going back to understanding their culture, understanding their cultural health beliefs regarding, let's say, surgery. Because some ethnic groups do not believe in surgery or being cut on. So it's important for the provider to understand that, because that will serve as a barrier to accessing services. And also, the focus on preventative care is crucial, and which will hopefully be achieved under the Obama administration now with the current health care reform efforts. So I think that's crucial as well in terms of maybe providing more accessible free screenings, free health care screenings, free checkups, for example, especially with, say, oral health in order to prevent oral cancer, for example, things along those lines. So more preventative care in terms of vision, dental, as well as mental health. You know, accessing those necessary services if they're needed by certain individuals in the community. So as a conclusion, regardless of ethnic identity, kind of stepping aside from that, low-income residents without coverage, or if they face barriers to financing and or obtaining dental, visual, or mental health services, that obviously remains a primary concern, regardless of the area, regardless of the population. Legislative policies must be implemented to achieve equity, going back to that notion of equity across economic strata, to promote better health access and care among all community residents. So kind of stepping aside from either low income versus higher income, all residents should have access to the necessary health care services. And they should have knowledge of that, what's provided as well, what's available. Whoops. And my references are listed there. And also, I would like to mention, if you have any questions specific to MAP or the project that I helped the Virginia Department of Health conduct, certainly feel free to contact me. I can give you a card. I did not list my contact information like I should have, but certainly feel free to contact me at any time as well. So thank you very much for your attention this morning.